The first reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 11, reading from verses 5 to 13, and this can be found on page 1042 of the Bible. And from verse 5. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And the second reading is from the book of James. And we're reading from chapter 3, verse 13. 2 kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And we continue in chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Thanks be to God for this reading from his word.
Abba, Father, may our ears and our hearts be open this morning as we listen for your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Does God always answer prayer? A few weeks ago, Joshua led us in a short series on prayer, what prayer is and what it is not. This week, I want to look at prayers of intercession, where we place our requests and our needs onto God. Does God always give us what we ask for? Why does some prayer seem to go unanswered? On the surface, the passage we read from the Gospel of Luke seems to suggest that if we are persistent enough and sincere enough, then God will give us what we want. A blank check written by God to fulfill everything we could want or imagine. Our cosmic fairy godmother. Well, I'm not sure about any of you, but that's not my experience of prayer. Let me share with you an occasion when I prayed persistently and sincerely to God. I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was attending ballet classes and reading Noel Stretfield books. For the uninitiated, those are books set in the 90s, 30s and 40s about little girls who went to ballet and drama schools. I decided that what I wanted more than anything was to go to the Royal Ballet School in London. And I was sure that if I prayed hard enough and sincerely enough, I would go and learn how to be a professional ballerina like Anna Pavlova. For about 2 years, that was my nightly prayer. Now, God had blessed me with many gifts, but being a ballet dancer was not one of them. And not surprisingly, I did not go to the Royal Ballet School in London. That was not part of God's plan for my life. The parable in Luke says, be persistent. I was very persistent. Jesus said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. God gives good things to his children. He wants what's best for them. Now, my motives for wanting to go to the Royal Ballet School were maybe a bit selfish and unrealistic. You will notice that my desire extended as far as praying. I did not mention practicing very hard. It is often the case that children will ask their parents for things that they want and frame it into a need. The most up-to-date phone, the branded clothes, the latest fad which they just cannot live without, but which will be discarded on the floor of their bedroom within the month. But you don't understand. My life won't be worth living if I don't keep up with Jack or Jenny or John. It's easy at this point to descend into that pointless argument that you understand completely. You were their age once too. Honestly, we don't understand. To them, we are dinosaurs. And as Charlotte once told me, anything that happened before 2004 is ancient history. They just, that feel-good factor, isn't it? We may have been kids. We may have felt that compelling need for the latest something. But we now understand that it is not good for us to have everything we want, that today's novelty is tomorrow's junk. Nowadays, our concerns are much more mature and thought out. We can tell the difference between what we want and what we need. We are, after all, adults with a lifetime of experience behind us. We know what's best for us in our lives, don't we? When our children ask for food, they may mean sweets or chocolate, but we know that what they actually need is meat and two veg. When our children ask for shoes, we know that pretty little fashion shoes with a cute kitten heel are sweet to look at, but will last 5 minutes at school. We give our children what they need and what is good for them, not necessarily what they want in that moment. We do this because we love our children and want what is best for them. Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, to knock. At no point does he say we will get exactly what we ask for, but that we will get what is right for us. God loves us too much to give us things which will harm us. If we ask, if we seek, if we knock, then our Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to dwell with us. Wait a minute, I didn't ask for the Holy Spirit. I asked to go to the Royal Ballet School in London to be a ballet dancer. Is God ignoring my desires and wishes? Does he not care for what I want? What's the point in asking for something if you don't get it? It's like receiving a carrot stick when you ask for chocolate buttons. The passage from James looks at wisdom. The wisdom of the world harbors envy and selfish ambition. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of good mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. When God sends us his Holy Spirit in response to our prayer, he is not ignoring or rejecting our request. He is honoring it. But he is asking us to search deep within our hearts. Is that what we truly desire? At 8, I was passionate about being a ballet dancer. But if God had granted that request, what would have happened next? As I grew up, I would have been too short to enter the corps de ballet. My joints would not have stood up to the rigorous exercise. And by my mid-teens, I would have failed in my life's ambition. God knew better, so he changed my heart. Instead of reaching for something out of my grasp, I sought what I was good at and eventually prayed to be able to train as a nurse, and that prayer was granted. When we pray, we are sometimes apt to treat God as though he were Father Christmas, doling out our desires on request and then refusing to believe in him if we don't get what we want. Prayer is about a conversation and a relationship. When we care about someone, we want to spend time with them. We get to know them better. God wants us to get to know him better, so the conversation needs to be two-way. We need to listen as well as talk. What is preventing us from having effective communication with God? What desires or interests of the world are preventing us from hearing his voice? That is a question only we know the answer to. But if we are unsure, then we should measure our thoughts and desires against this passage of James. Do we envy our neighbour his car? Are we ambitious to raise through the ranks of our career? It is not wrong to pray for a car or to pray for a promotion at work, but why do we want it? When we are friends with the world in this way, taking hold of the ideals and values of the world, we start to ask for the wrong things for the wrong reasons. The world is an amazing creation, and there is so much in it we should value and nurture. But we must guard our hearts against fooling ourselves that our motives are pure when they are not. We may convince ourselves, but we will never convince God. God wants to know the triviality of our lives. He wants to hear our thoughts and our fears. He wants us to lay them all before him. But we must trust that he knows best, and that he will give us what we truly need in our lives. What happens when our prayer request is not selfish or trivial? What happens when we are not caught up in worldly thoughts, but truly care about the pain and suffering of another? What happens when a prayer for healing or a prayer for transformation does not yield the results we expect? Our thoughts are pure, God. Why won't you answer? I have recently been reading a book called God in the ICU, written by an anaesthetic consultant from South Africa by the name of Dave Walker. In it, he talks of his conversion and his day-to-day life, living out his faith in an intensive care setting. He talks of praying with and for his patients. At times, he saw amazing healing. At other times, the patients died. In each situation, he searched for God's presence and God's wisdom. At times, when he lost patients he had prayed for, he saw a renewing of faith in their lives before they died. At other times, it gave the family members hope and comfort. Many times, we have no idea why people die from freak accidents or major illnesses. We cry against it. Why, God, did you allow this to happen? We are not alone in this. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out to God to take away the cup of suffering. He didn't want to go through the pain and humiliation of the cross. He prayed for another way. After he had poured out his fear and his anguish to God, he finished his prayer with, "Yet not my will, but yours." It is very difficult to explain why an apparent lack of answer to prayer, a refusal from God to give what we would deem to be a good gift, can grow our faith. It sounds very trite to say that God answers all prayers, and sometimes the answer is no. Not now, not yet. Wait a little. That is not my will on this occasion. And this can leave us feeling lost and alone for a little while. It is at these times that we must continue to pray to God. Continue to have that conversation and ask him to show us what we should be praying for. Should we pray for healing, or should we pray for peace and acceptance? Pray that he sends his Holy Spirit upon us so that we know best what to pray. Luke 11:13 says that our Father in heaven will send his Holy Spirit to those who ask. That is one prayer which will always be answered because we are praying for God to show us his will, not ours. Katie and I recently have faced what appeared to be an insurmountable conflict of interests. Two important events, both on the same day, at the same time, and both parties insisting that their event held precedence over the other. I prayed for resolution. I prayed that one event would be moved, one heart would be softened, but nothing happened. I prayed for peace and acceptance on the resolution, and compromise was reached. It is not ideal, but it is manageable. Had we started at that point of compromise, then we would not have found peace in it. We would have pushed and searched and for more and been discontent. As it is, we can accept the situation. We are at peace with it. This is delayed answer to prayer. God does not delay his answer to torture us, to increase our anguish. He delays his answer so that we can pray for the right thing. And when we receive it, we will be content with it. That is the action of a loving God who truly cares for our situation, even the smallest detail. We spoke with the children earlier about not seeing the big picture, only our little bit. Only God can see that big picture. And if we trust him as we say we do, then we must trust him to know what is best for us in our lives. We must seek the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. When we are called in James to turn our laughter to mourning and our joy to gloom, it does not suggest that we try to suck the life out of our faith and go around miserable, but that we should find our joy and our laughter in the right things, in God's things. If we lay our troubles and burdens before the Lord and humble ourselves before him, we will receive his joy and he will raise us up in his glory. Does God always answer prayer? Yes, I would say he does. But he does not work to our timetable. He does not work to our ways. And he waits for us to pray for the right thing at the right time. And when we do, he pours out his grace upon us more abundantly than we could ever imagine.